So my topic for this morning is have faith in God and perseverance. Right? And before I share with you what the Lord has put in my heart, let me share with us a story I find very interesting. I believe it's a true story. It's about Martin Luther. Now we know about Martin Luther. He's a great reformer, a man of faith. But how many of us know that he suffered depression before? Right? And we wonder, right, such a man like him, with man of faith, how is it possible that he suffered depression? Well, all right, it doesn't mean that because that you're a man of faith, it means that you don't have your struggle with God. We all have our own struggle with God. So likewise, Martin Luther, he has his own struggle with God. And one day he came home and he saw his wife dressed in mourning clothes, you know, mourning clothes and in black. So Luther asked his wife, who died? And his wife said, God. And so Martin Luther, as a theologian, of course he got upset. And he rebuked her and said, what do you mean? God cannot die. But his wife said, the way you have been acting, I was sure he had. Yeah. So, that really, you know, woke Luther up. And he said to his wife, Kate, you are a wise woman. I have been acting as if God were dead, and I'll do so no more. Go and take off your black dress. Some of us, maybe you're in church today with some struggle you're going through. I want to say to you, all right, God is not dead. God is with you. All right, look up. Look to Jesus and keep following Him. Have faith in Him. Persevere. God is not done with you yet. So if you're going through tough time, or if we are going through a tough time, you realize that faith is important. But not just faith is important. Your perseverance is equally important in order to see us through the dark tunnel. And to me, faith and perseverance are connected. Faith produces perseverance. Perseverance makes your faith stronger when you practice it. And so this morning, I also want to ask, how is your relationship with God? We have been going through a hard time, the seasons, with so much changes. How is our relationship with God today? Do you feel like you are drifting away from God? Or do you feel that you are drawing and growing closer in the Lord? And if you are feeling you are drifting away from the Lord, I want to encourage you. You need faith and perseverance to help you to draw near to God. And this is a message the Apostle Paul is writing to the Jewish Christian in the book of Hebrews, which is I want to talk about today, Hebrews chapter 11. And first of all, let me read for us Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. And this is what Apostle Paul said to his congregation. Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old receive their commendation. So why Paul had to talk to them about faith and perseverance? Because you'll find the answer in the previous chapter, chapter 10, verse 39, where Paul said to them, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. So you can see some Christians, some Jewish Christians were drifting away from God. Some even consider of joining back to Judaism, their past religion, all right, to escape persecution, maybe to escape pressure. But basically, they are going through something that caused them to drift away from God. And one example is those who follow Christ. Just give you some example. Is that because of their decision to follow Jesus, some of them were disowned by their loved one. Their relationship with their loved one turned sour. Their relationship with their family members, their parents and close friends and relatives, the one they used to be together happily as one, but no longer ever seen they make their choice to follow Jesus. In fact, some of them begin to see them as betrayer and call them the blasphemer. But I want us to know that these people, these Christians who follow Christ, I want us to know they pay a heavy price when they decided to follow Him. They have given up their community, and the life and live like a strangers that have no privilege. So these are the people who truly love God. But somehow, at this point, at this moment, maybe they are feeling tired. Maybe they are feeling fearful, because who knows who will be the next to be persecuted, who will be killed by then? Who knows? All right? Who will be the next one will come and mock them and make their life difficult? And also the hurt they receive, the comments they get from people. And so we do not know what they are going through. But I believe they probably are going through some very difficult time that have caused them at this point thinking, or maybe I should go back to my old religion again. Maybe I should just renounce my faith and escape all this suffering. But Paul said to them, have faith in God, persevere. I remember my brother-in-law shared with me about how he almost got chased out of the house after he told his dad he wanted to become a Christian and get baptized. I wonder how many of us had this very familiar experience when we were younger as Christians. And at least for me, I remember, all right, I got to sort like say a white lie, all right, to my parents in order to come to church and worship. I would say to my parents asked me, where do you go on Sunday? Because they were suspicious. Last time Sunday, most people go to church. So they say, where are you going to, what are you doing on Sunday? So I tell my parents, oh, no lie, I'm going to join my friend to study lah. But gay one, bluff one, okay? Of course, no, right? I want to come to church, but yet I was afraid to disappoint my parents, right? I don't want to, you know, them to feel difficult. I don't put them, you know, I don't want to sour our relationship. So, right, I try to find a way to say something, all right, maybe it's a win-win situation. But what they are going through in the Hebrew community was much worse than that, all right? Their life was at stake. So likewise, all right, for my brother-in-law, all right, so when he told my father-in-law that he wanted to be a Christian, my father-in-law, his father, was okay ready to chase him out of the house. In fact, he packed his bag, all right, already packed his bag and threw outside of the house and tell him, if you want to be a Christian, you got to leave the house. Thank God for his mother who came in and rescued him. If not, my brother-in-law has to stay with his pastor then. But because of his perseverance, because of his faith in God, he remained steadfast. Eventually, praise the Lord, his faithfulness won his father over to Christ. All right. So I want to encourage us, all right, that if you have the same similar situation like what you're going through today, have faith in God, persevere. God has not finished his work in you yet. You know, last week, senior pastor shared with us, true faith is more than just knowing. It is more than just a feeling or asking God to do things for us. Faith is in spite of difficulties, disappointment, discouragement, you commit back to God as how he had committed to you. That in the midst of challenges, you commit back to God as how he had committed to you. Faith is a conviction in your heart. The assurance in the word of God. When God says no, we still believe he is good. And that's a song we sing earlier. In all circumstances, Lord, we will choose to praise you. That in the spite of challenges, we will say, God, we believe you are still good. And that is the faith the author is talking about, the convictions and assurance in our hearts. And I believe our faith is in the season of testing. I really believe that, you know, the Lord is really testing his people's faith. Now, of course, we know we can't sing, we can't used to do church like how we used to do things before, the kind of fellowship, the kind of, the after service of catching up with one another. We know we can't do that anymore, but today I want to thank God, I want to praise God, at least you are here today and those who are watching online, praise God for you. And even those who are watching online, many of them are beginning to feel it's getting harder. to participate through online. It's one thing that you watch online. It's another thing that you are able to be here in fellowship with one another physically and worship God together. So many of them begin to struggle even to concentrate and pay attention, you know, on the service. Even they watch faithfully but begin to feel the struggle now. What should we do? Should we just give up? Should we just take a break from Christianity or take a break from watching online? Or should we ask God for a sabbatical break? God, you know, maybe now just let me take a break. Time is tough. When time is over, I promise you I'll come back, and maybe I'll come back for service when time is better. Is this season going to stop us from pursuing God? Is this season going to stop us from serving God? Is this season going to stop us from caring for His people? Or we are saying to God, Lord, this season, make me worship You even more. God, this season, make me serve You even more. God, this season, make me to excel in my good works, in where I am. Make me shine for You. Make me Your light. Make me be the person that will shine for You and in such a way that others may glorify God. And in this season, we can easily say, allow the situation to drift us away from God. Or this season is a season where we say, God, I'm going to press in harder. I'm going to press in harder. I want, help me to know You more. Help me to do more for You. Help me to shine for You. And Your presence here, I want you to know, is already a proof that you love God. Your presence here this morning, and those who are watching online, is already an evidence that you want to press in for God. So I want to encourage you, keep pressing in. Why? Because such faith and perseverance is important. Such faith and perseverance is important because in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, he says, the author says, and without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. So your presence here, your pressing Him today, you are making God happy. You are pleasing Him. In case you're wondering how God feels about you this afternoon, I want you to know, God is pleased with you. God is smiling at you because you are pressing in. You are not allowing the circumstances to drift you away from God, but you are pressing in. And those who are watching online too, God is pleased with you and your perseverance. When I was a school badminton coach, I had a student who stayed very far from where I was coaching. And so he came all the way to the school I was coaching and asking me to help him to play a better badminton. So I was very curious what made him come all the way, all right, from one end of the corner to where I was coaching. And then he said to me, because someone spoke to him about me, and then through hearing that story, he believes that I'm the right person to help him, to make him a better badminton player. Unfortunately, all right, very sad to say, by the time he came, I was about to leave the school. So I felt very bad, you know. I saw the disappointment in his face. All right, I came all the way. You know, I can have so many schools to choose. I can choose other school, but I choose this school because I want to coach under you. Now you got to go. So I could sense the disappointment, but at that point I had to go because, all right, I felt it's time for me to move on. But a few years later, really a few years later, I saw him again in one of the badminton hall, and he was still playing. He is still playing badminton. And he was playing very well. And I heard that he almost make it to the national youth squad. You know, faith is something like this boy, or perseverance, something like this boy. He was disappointed. He was discouraged. It was not something that he wanted. But it didn't stop him from pursuing his belief. It didn't stop him. He pressed on. And what more for us as God people, and you and me? What more for us, for God's people, that the more we must persevere, the more we must press in, because he who promised is faithful. Amen? Our Lord is faithful. Jesus is faithful. And it is for this reason that we persevere. It's for this reason we know that in our race, our ending point, we will see Jesus waiting for us. So I want to encourage us, let us pray that God will use this season to grow our faith in him. Let us pray that God will use this season to love one another even more. Let us pray that, you know, pray to God that, you know, restrictions will keep changing. We will not know what will happen tomorrow, but today, right now, we make a conviction with the assurance in our hearts that nothing will move us, for the promises is faithful. For our God is faithful. And so for those, I want to encourage you, although we are very thankful you are watching online and you've been faithfully watching online, but I want you to know that I'm saying this out of love for you. We are saying this, right, of my love for you as a pastor. I want to encourage you, if you are able to, if you can, you should start consider coming back. You should start consider coming back before you become Noah, right? Those who laugh, you understand what I'm talking about, right? Noah is a Hokkien word, yeah? Okay, basically, Noah means become slack, lah, slack, or, you know, lazy. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you become so comfortable at one place, you don't want to change anymore. You start there. So I want to encourage you, those who are watching online, if you can, do something about it. Pray and start coming back to God. We miss you, we want to see you, and we want to have fellowship with you. But for all you are here, press in, okay? Keep coming, all right? But you know that it's easy to talk about faith and perseverance. You know that in reality and truth, this is not something new. If you attend church long enough, you will see this topic repeating again and again and again. It's always saying the same thing. Christian life is not an easy road. Right? And why there's always such a sermon keep repeating? Because that is the reality of life. Even you become a Christian today, it doesn't mean your road will be easy, smooth, and steady. You will still have your struggle with God. And so there's always this sermon constant reminding us, like how the apostle reminding his follower that once you were faithful in the Lord, you were following the Lord, but I know that you're struggling. Don't give up. Keep pressing. Keep moving in. So the same way, the Lord is reminding us as well. If today you feel that you're drifting away from the Lord, you're feeling tired, may I share to you, press in, persevere. Push on, pursue God. Don't let it become a stumbling block that will stop you from drawing near to God. You know, there's a time where we felt so close with God. There'll be a season that we'll feel so passionate about our faith, but there will be a season where we are feeling far away from the Lord. Some even feel that you are backsliding. When you are in that season, press in, have faith in God, persevere. Struggling with God is common. If you're struggling today, I want you to know it's common. It is part of your journey. It is something that all of us here can agree with you, that we all had gone through that in the season of our life. The other day this thing happened a few months ago already, all right? A few months ago, I went for cycling and I fell from my bicycle. And because I was cycling on a narrow path, you know what I'm saying? If you're on the road, I think it's much easier, but actually not so true, like got cars also, right? But some of the narrow path is more challenging, especially if you're not a very good cyclist like me. You know, especially when you cycle at road, it's very narrow, and you saw a passenger coming towards you, you get kanchong, you know? So I got nervous, I got kanchong, and in the end, I fell. And I hurt my leg, all right? And what do you expect me to do when I fail? Of course, I'm not going to sit there and weep and cry, right? Right? I'm not going to say, oh, my leg's so painful. Of course I won't, right? Yeah? What did I do after I fell? I pick up my bicycle and I go on. I pick up and carry on my cycling. In the same way, for you all as well, today, if you fall, don't just sit there. Stick up your bicycle and keep cycling. Your journey is not over yet. You still got a journey to go. So don't stop there if you're struggling today. If you fall today, don't stop there. Take up your bicycle and keep cycling. Keep moving on because the Lord is waiting for you there. Keep cycling and keep moving on. And one way to keep our faith going, one way to keep our faith growing is by reading stories in the Bible that can inspire us. One of the ways that can inspire us to keep going is reading people who have gone through before us in the Bible and learn from them how they persevere till the end. And let me read for us Romans 15 verse 4. Romans chapter 15 verse 4. The apostles say, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." So what is the purpose of God writing those stories of the people in the past in the Bible? Their story was written so that for the people in the present day like you and me, as we read their story will inspire us. Their story will give us hope and faith to press on. And so if today, all right, you feel you're drifting away, one of the ways is go back to the Bible and read the story of those who had ran before us and learn from them how they overcome their situation to their perseverance in God. And so right now, I want to read a story, right, written by the Apostle Paul from chapter 11, verse 4 to 13. But because it's a long passage, so I didn't put it on slide for us. But if you can, take out your phone, if you have a Bible, physical Bible, take it out, all right? I'm going to ask you to read this story together with me. Yeah? Stories of men and women of faith in the past. How did they overcome or how they persevere till the end? Right, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 to 13. Let me read for us. Verse 4, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commended him for by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundation, whose designer and builder is God. My faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, one man and him as good as dead were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. So sometimes we wonder why God holds back our promise. We pray, we seek God, but God seems to hold back ourselves. Sometimes we wonder, and that's what they were going through. They prayed, God promised, but somehow God is, maybe we say, taking his time to answer the prayer, but somehow God is holding back. And so they were looking for the day, but somehow God is taking his time to answer that prayer. Why? So you may wonder why sometimes God hold back your promise. And I will share with you why by the end of my sermon. That there is a reason and purpose that why God sometimes hold back our promise, his promise to us. But before that, we want to look at the lesson that we can learn from these men and women of God, the faith story. What can we learn from them? First of all, we are very comforted. I'm very comforted that they are not Marvel or DC superhero. They don't have special power. They don't have ping here, ping there, you know. They don't. They are just ordinary people like you and me. They are common people like you and me. They have their own struggle with God as well. Just for example, Abel was killed by his own brother Cain. For what reason? For wanting to please God. So Abel wanted to please God. As a result, he got killed. It doesn't make sense. If you are in Abel's shoe, you probably will ask the question, why didn't God protect him? Why didn't God help him? Isn't that the same prayer that many of us make? We serving God faithfully, and when something happened, we ask a question, God, why were you not there to help me? The other day, I tried to be a good Christian, all right, to help someone, all right, outside. And so I tried to help that person. And I thought that after I helped that person, maybe the person will say a thank you to me, or maybe the person will appreciate what I've done for him. Unfortunately, all right, I didn't get a word thank you. What I get from the person is kepo. Why are you so kepo? I couldn't understand. I thought I was helping you. But in return, I get scolded for helping the person. How many of us have experienced that in your life? Maybe husband and wife, right? You love your spouse. You want to do something good. In the end, you got misunderstood. Or sometimes your colleague, sometimes even in cell group friends, that you were trying to do something good. As a result, you got misunderstood. Some got even scolded. What is going on? I thought I was doing something good in the eyes of God. Shouldn't that something good should come back in return? Enoch and Noah, I put them together because they were in the same situation. They were in the same situation because the scriptures tell us in Genesis that they walk in the ways of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. In other words, both of them, they were living in the season where most people, or all people, I would say, most of them who doesn't believe in God, they are not just unbeliever. In fact, they are doing wicked things in the eyes of the Lord. There is so much more that God has to tell Noah to build an ark and destroy them. So they are living in that kind of situation that most of them are not believers, or in fact, doing wicked things in the eyes of God. So they are facing tremendous pressure, peer pressure. People who might mock at their faith, people who might, you know, insult their faith. And I heard so many times members share with me, you know, Pastor, please pray for me. How to overcome fear of man? Pastor, please pray for me. How to resist peer pressure? Pastor, please pray for me. How can I stop being so easily influenced to do what I know is wrong? Isn't that what many of us are going through daily in our life? We want to do what is right in the eyes of God, but in reality, when you step into the world, you realize that, wow, actually there are more people against our faith than with our faith. The pressure is real. What you're going through is real. And it's really not easy to live in the world where most people do not have the same faith as us. Sarah's patience was tested because God promised her that she would have a son. But she waited for very long. You know, is God going to give me or not? Is God going to keep his promise or not? Because Sarah waited not just 1 or 2 years, for many years. So is God going to fulfill his promise? At one stage, she was even angry with God for taking so long. Waiting is a painful thing. Isn't that true? Many of us, those who have been praying, you know the pain of waiting. You know the pain of you pray to God and, you know, it's like God, it seems to be slow to answer your prayer. And you lose your patience. You get angry with God. You got upset with God. I want to say to you that this is what many of us are going through. If today you're feeling bad because you get angry of God, I want to assure you, all of us has gone through something like that in our life. I make so many prayers in my life. But you know what? Not all my prayers are answered. There are some prayers I'm still waiting for God to fulfill his promise. And I'm not sure. I'm getting old, right? And I'm not sure whether will I have the opportunity to see them come to pass. I'm really not sure. There are prayers that have been made for years, and I'm still waiting. I'm not sure whether it will be in my time where I can see God fulfill, all right, answer my prayer or fulfill the promise that he had made. About, a few weeks ago, I was talking to a couple in our church, a young couple, young adults, 30 plus. I was very inspired by their stories and by their faith in God because they decided to give up their career and became poor for God. They decided to obey God and by faith, they both of them prayed and agreed that God had something new for them. So they obey God and give up their comfortable career and to do something different because they want to honor him. And without really knowing what their future is going to be like. And this is what they share with me. They say, it's the one thing that, you know, it sounds good that I want to obey God, but in reality, I do not know what my future is going to be like, except putting my faith and trust in God and persevere. Abraham will promise that his descendant will be as many as the, you know, as stars in the sky, innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. But do you know, till he died, he did not receive the promises, but only saw it from a distance and welcomed them. But yet God commended them, for though they are ordinary, but God, something that they did that pleases God's heart. And God commended them for one thing, that in spite of your challenges and struggles, in spite I delay my promise to fulfill what I say to you, he said, in spite of that, you remain faithful, you persevere, and you continue to trust me. and God is pleased. And God commended them for their faith, that they persevere even though they do not know when God will fulfill His promises. Their hope is not on the temporal things that can be seen on earth where moth and rust destroy, but on the promiser and the future who is unseen by this world. They persevere, more importantly, that pleases God, that they believe the promises is faithful even when they are not. They have such a convictions and assurance in their heart that in spite of their situation where they cannot understand everything, they have such a conviction and assurance that God is faithful, that God is good, God is with me, and I will continue to have faith in Him and persevere. Not in the good time. Good time, you don't need to persevere. It is in your struggle that you learn to persevere. So I want to say to you, some of us here, if there's one area in your life you're struggling with God, but you persevere, I want you to know the act, the faith pleases God. On your side, you may feel like you are drifting away. On your side, that you feel like maybe I don't love God enough. No, I want to tell you, in your struggle when you persevere, God is pleased with you. I have some practical suggestions, all right, before I want to share with us why your perseverance is so important. I have some practical suggestions on how to persevere in tough times. You know, I'll give you some handles, right? And how to keep yourself drifting away from God. And just let me use my snorkeling experience, all right, to share with us some, in my reflection, some of the spiritual lesson I learned, all right, through my the experience when I was doing my snorkeling, okay? Some years ago, I went for my snorkeling in Phuket with my wife. Firstly, I must admit, I want you to know I'm not a good swimmer. I'm a good badminton player who can do well on courts, but definitely not a swimmer. So I'm not a good swimmer. And so in other words, I need a life vest to help me, all right, to make me feel safe or keep me floating, all right? So you can imagine, right? You can imagine as a first timer, when I jump into the sea from the boat, what do you think the first thing I will do? I want to assure you, all right, I'm not going to definitely not swim around. The first thing I will do, I will stay very close to the boat. Right? Fear, ma? So I'll stay very close to the boat, all right? Try not to stay too far away from the boat. But as I look down and enjoy what I see under the sea, so beautiful, corals and fish, then I got distracted. And then after a while, I didn't realize. By the time I look up, I realized I was very far away from the boat. So the sea had been, keep pushing me away from the boat without me realizing. So I got distracted, and then I realized I was so far away from the, and I began to get kanchiong, you know. I'm not a good swimmer. How? All right. Am I going to die here? All right. I forgot I got a life vest with me. But even with that, I'm still in fear. Am I going to die? So I must try to find my way back to the boat. All right. And of course, all right, to protect myself. So I try to swim back. And I realized that, when you are floating, you don't do anything. All right. It's very easy, very smooth, all right, for the current to keep you, push you away, all right? But when you try to swim back, it's not that easy. So when I try to swim back, every time I swim back, the sea current will keep pushing me away from the boat. So every time I try, you'll keep pushing back. Every time I try, you keep pushing back. And the only reason that I keep trying, I keep pushing and not giving up, because whenever I try, after a while, I look up, the boat is still there. So that gives me the kind of confidence, all right? To know that as long as I keep trying, I will arrive, I will reach. And so I keep trying and trying, and then finally, all right, there's a rope they were attached to the boat. That's to help people who cannot swim, lah. People like me, right? Who cannot swim, there's a rope to help you, all right, to hold on so that you won't be drifted too far away from the boat. So I swim and swim. Finally, I got a rope. I hold on to it. I hold very tight. And step by step, hand by hand, finally, okay, I went up to the boat, yeah? And so, it was very interesting that this experience taught me a lot of things in our spiritual walk with the Lord. For example, the wave, the current wave, it's like, you know, it's like the challenges and the temptations in our world. Before you're Christians, you don't have this problem. But after you become Christians, you realize that it's getting harder, all right, to live in the world. There are always temptations, there are always challenges, they'll try to push you away. And if I don't do anything, this current and this wave will keep pushing you away and away from the boat. But it's a life vest they're putting on, the rope and the commitment of the people on the boat that saved me, that keep me going, and finally, all right, I go back to my boat. And so, how do we persevere in a situation when you feel that the draft is keep pushing you away? How do we persevere and have faith in God when we're in the situation that you felt that the challenges you're facing today is not helping you to draw closer to God? And this is how God has helped us. First of all, remember these three things. God has given you a life vest. God has given you a life vest. This vest is God's grace and mercy for you. This grace and mercy will keep you floating. As long as you rest on this life vest, you will not drown. It will keep you floating, right? And it will not drown you. So if you're going through challenges today, the first thing you need to do is to rely on His grace and mercy. You should stop trying hard. Keep trying hard and do more. No, the first thing you need to do, coming back to God, is to rely on His grace and mercy that's available to you. Secondly, God has provided you a rope to help you, to give you strength that will enable you to go back to the boat. As long as you hold on to the rope, you won't be drifted away. Sometimes the rope will push you to the left and to the right, but as long as you hold on to that rope, the rope will keep you steady and help you to go back to the rope. The rope that you must hold fast on today is the Word of God. Hold on to the Word of God, the promises of God. Hold on to the work of Christ and hold on to the fellowship of the saints. Yesterday, I was sharing this story about the boat, you know, swimming. And after my sermon, my wife said something. Said, actually, I'm not very happy. I said, why? I thought you were there with me. You forgot to say one thing. While you have the life vest, while you have the rope, you have the boat, you forgot one very important thing. I was up there cheering for you. Oh, yeah. So I must remember that, all right? So we need one another, all right? Life vest, rope, they are good. But we still need the fellowship, the encouragement of one another. So I want to encourage you. Spend time, read the Bible story. Even you don't feel like reading, don't let your feeling tell you what to do. Persevere. Conviction in your heart. Read the Bible. And that will help you to draw close to God. Don't just listen sermon on Sunday. Over the weekdays. Nowadays, there are a lot of podcasts. There are a lot of sermons outside. You can learn as well. But don't just listen to sermon outside and forgot the sermon here. All right, those who are watching online, okay? Saturday, Sunday, reserved for your pastor. All right, we prepare hard work for your sermon. So you must come and listen, all right? Okay? But other days, you can listen to other people's sermon, all right? But listen to sermon. Listen to Christian song. These are the things that will help you to draw closer to God. And when you fall, when you fail, when you feel that you sin against God and you're not worthy to come back to God, hold fast and remember one thing, that our righteousness, we are righteous not because I'm perfect or we are perfect, but because of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. And always, always remember, God is faithful and just, and He will forgive all your sin. So today, if you sin is a reason that stops you from drawing near to God, don't. Remember, God is faithful. And finally, as I mentioned earlier, I need my wife to support me. We need one another to support each other. When we say family as our credo, we're not saying this for fun. We're not saying this, it's a nice credo, it's fun. Let's, you know, every sermon we'll talk about it. No. Whenever pastors come to us and say, we are one family, he literally means that we are really one family in Christ. We are together in Christ. What it means is that we need to look out for one another. We need to cheer on for one another. We need to support one another. That this is what family is all about. So it's important, all right? Hold on to the rope. Hold on to the word of God. Hold on to the word of Christ. And hold on to the fellowship of the saint. And most importantly, always remember, like the boat, God has never moved. You may be drifted away, left, right, up, down, but God has never moved. Like the boat, God will never leave without you. Our lives is always in His hand and nothing has changed. So let this promise be your conviction this morning. Let this promise be your assurance this morning. Let this sink in into your heart. Not just in what you know, but in your heart. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and say, Lord, I believe and I am convinced that you will not leave me behind. Lord, I'm convinced and I believe in my heart that even when I feel that you're not working, you have never stopped working for me. Let it be the convictions and the assurance in your heart. With the conviction and assurance in your heart, that conviction and assurance will give you the perseverance to move on till Christ returns for us. It is that conviction and assurance that will help us not to give up, because we know deep in our hearts that God has never moved. Someone might ask me, is struggle necessary in our spiritual walk? Why God allow us to go through struggles in life? Why God sometimes choose to hold back the promise? Why God didn't answer my prayer immediately when I pray today? Why God hold that promise? Why God wants me to walk through the season of my life? Is it because He doesn't care about me? Is it because He doesn't love me? If God loves me, then why God wants me to walk through the season of my life in struggling, in learning how to hold on to God and keep moving on and persevere? If you ask me, is it necessary for us to have struggle in our spiritual walk with God? My quick answer for all of us is yes. It is necessary. And I'm going to share with you why. First of all, in our struggles, in trials and tests, our confidence in God, our real confidence in God reveals. Isn't that true? Now, you can say all you can about your faith in God. You can say all you can about your trust in God until you are tested. It is in the moment of your testing, this is where God revealed to us where are we standing or really standing when we are under the test. Do we really trust Him this much? And so God allow us to go through that so that He helped us to know how much we need Him in our lives. It's no longer just a head knowledge. In the trials, everything becomes real. Your experience with God becomes real. Your struggle with God becomes real. And that helps us to have that encounter with God more personal. You know, we always pray, God, I want it to have a personal encounter with you. God will give you through trials and struggle. And I tell you, when you're in there, God has never become more real than before. And the reason that why our struggle, our trial is necessary, because the outcome of trials produces perseverance. We need so much of perseverance in our life because life is not easy. Life is never smooth and steady for us. There are always challenges ahead of us. Without that perseverance, how are we going to complete the work God has given to us? So perseverance is necessary. And so it is in trial and testing, God is training our perseverance. That each time when we are being tested and I say, God, I push on. Each time we are being tested and being pushed away, God, I will press in. Every time you resist, you produce spiritual perseverance. It's the same way for sports in muscle. How do you build your muscle? You don't build my muscle sitting down there and then you put your hand like that and then one day your muscle will become bigger. Trust me, it will never happen to you. You want to build your muscle, you must go to weight and do exercise. And weights are heavy. Do you realize that? But every time you push up the weights, every time you go through that stress, you build up your muscle. Your muscle becomes stronger. It's the same for spiritual war. Every time you resist the temptation of the world, every time you resist from listening to the world of moving back, but you insist on drawing near to God, God is building the spiritual muscle for you. And isn't that the prayer of our life, of many of us this morning? Those who are watching online, we pray, God, help me to be more like Jesus. Lord, I want to love others as how you have loved me. God, I want to be mature like you. Isn't that's our prayer? And God said, yes, I'm hearing your prayer. I'm listening your prayer. And this is the trials I'm giving you. This is what you must go through. You have to go through it. I want you to know that I love you. I'm with you. And because I know you, I want you to be better. And therefore, I need to go through them. So that by going through them, not just that spiritually you become stronger, but more importantly, you will know that I not just exist, but I reward those who earnestly seek me. So whatever you're going through today, press on. You're struggling with something today, press on. God is doing something new in your life. He is helping you to be more mature and complete. But there's another reason which I want to end today, that why God hold the promise, why God take longer to answer our prayer, why God want us to learn about perseverance, walking in the wilderness. And we found this answer in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39 and 40. And this is a final instructions of Paul giving to the congregations in chapter 11, and he says this to them, and all this, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had already provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. So first of all, it's a message of comfort and encouragement. The message of comfort and encouragement is that Paul is saying that all this perseverance you are going through, Paul is assuring us, you are not running a race as though there's no aim or goal. Paul is assuring you and me that this race, there is a purpose, there is an end point, and there is a goal. And when you accomplish, when you overcome it, when you complete it, you will realize and understand the perfect will of God for your life. And so for the people in the past, they've been persevering and many of them don't see the promise or make sense of what God has been saying to them. But they run and run until Jesus came. Now, everything becomes clearer of what God is talking about. Everything becomes clearer for them. Wow, so all this while I'm persevering is for this day to come, the Messiah, the promise that God has made to them. They'll come and save them. But there is another greater purpose. That why God held back his promises from them. And listen to this. So that through their faith and perseverance, through their struggle, that they might become his stories of hope and faith to inspire us today. God make them walk through their journey so that today, those who are struggling like them, as we look back at the story, that they will bring us the message of hope and the message of faith and the message of who God is, that God is faithful. And it's so true, isn't it? What kind of stories that inspire us the most? That's a question. I'm sure not stories where God just, you know, live a stressless life. Not a story where they have no problems in life. Those stories are good, we praise God for them, but they won't inspire us. The story that inspired many of us are stories where when we see people's faith are tested, they go through hard time, they struggle in their walk with God, they cry, they will almost want to give up, but they persevere. They put their trust in God and keep running. Isn't that true? That it's stories like them that inspire many of us today, that keep moving for the Lord. That people who receive no from God and yet in their hearts, in the confession of their mouth, their confidence is in Him remain the same. Isn't that the stories like that that inspire us? And this is no wonder, Pastor Danny, our late Pastor Danny, who have gone home with the Lord, that his story is so inspiring to many of us because he was suffering, his health wasn't doing well for the last 2 years, and he knows that it's not doing any better for him. Did he pray for God to help him? I can assure you he did. Did he struggle? I can assure you he struggled. Did he cry? I can assure you that he cried. I was there with him over the phone, and he cried over the phone when he heard the news. He went through struggles like many of us. But what inspired us about him, that despite of his situation, the struggle, he remained faithful to the Lord. He couldn't understand that why must it now. He couldn't understand that why this thing have to be now. But what we know, that he persevered. He continued to have faith in God. He pressed on and to do his best, not staying at home and do nothing. He came to church, continued to serve us. Many of us who are doing better in our health, we are living better. He is not. He should be the one who deserves all the serving from us. But that didn't stop him from serving us. You see him Sundays, every Sunday after Sunday, with very beautiful shirt and pants, serving the people with a smile, serving you and me. And there's no wonder his story inspired many of us. That till the last day, his thought is about serving the Lord. Today, we want to thank God for Salt and Light Ministries. You know, not just we have stories in the earliest day that inspire us. Do you know that today we have many stories that are very powerful, that are very inspiring, and we have Salt and Light Ministry who somehow able to help us consolidate all these stories together to encourage us, many of us today, who needs to hear stories that can of hope and faith. And I'd like to share with us two stories before I end that inspired me recently. And the first story I'll share with us is about a sister, a pair of sisters, Sia Chiu Kwan and a younger sister, that in 2009, both of them decided to resign the teaching and start a ministry for people who need space for solitude and retreat. And in 2011, 2 years later, both were diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer. You know, how bad can it be? One is bad enough. Both of them were diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer. And after 5 years of treatment, they continued to serve the Lord. Chiu Kwan was doing much better than the younger sister because You know, 4 or 5 years later, they realized that the younger sister's cancer relapsed, had a relapse, and Chiu Kwan was in devastation. She couldn't understand why God is putting her through all these things. But she realized that her sister, in spite of her situation, she continues to serve the Lord fervently, serving the people and touching many lives. And that encouraged her. That gives her the faith and the hope to press on. And this is what she writes, her reflection on her last year with her late sister. I'm going to read out for us. And this is what she's saying. She's saying, God knows. There is no longer just cognitive understanding for me. It is deep knowing that God, my Creator, knows. He knows my end point. Every day that I'm alive is a special gift of life. Each day or each other is precious to God. And I cannot help but see it in the same light. So each day I look forward to the assignment my God has prepared in advance for me to do with joyful expectation. It is sufficient for me to know that God, my Creator, knows. Her life, the testimony of her younger sister, her perseverance, her faith in God of pushing in, inspired her, gave her hope and faith to carry on. Not just that, for herself, in the midst of that struggle of trusting God, she no longer just know God in her head. That in the struggle, she realized her relationship with God grew deeper. There's a deeper sense of love she has with God. I also wonder how many of us remember Jane. Jane, if you watch the America Got Talent variety show, she's a lady who says, "It's okay, it's okay, it's okay." She wrote that song. And when she was on stage, she shared with the judges that she was actually in, she has cancer in her lung, spine, and liver. And while she was on stage, actually she said that doctor actually said to her, she only had 2 chances of survival, maybe the maximum 6 months to live. And the worst thing is her husband left her because of that, saying to her, "I don't love you anymore." But in that song she sing, "It's okay, it's okay, and it's all right." And that really moves the judges. You know, it shouldn't be okay, but he say, "It's okay, it's all right." And because of that, she won the Golden Buzzer by the very fierce, you know, tough judge, Simon. Simon gave her that Golden Buzzer. And despite of her suffering, I was reading at her blogs and testimony. She remained faithful, and this is what she wrote on her blog. She said, "I haven't come as far as I like in understanding the things that have happened this year. But here's one thing I do know. When it comes to pain, God isn't often in the business of taking it away. Instead, He adds to it. He is more of a giver than a taker. He doesn't take away my darkness. He adds light. He doesn't spare me of tears. He brings water. He doesn't cure my loneliness. He comes near. So why do we believe that when we are in pain, it must mean God is far? In the beginning, there was immeasurable emptiness. But God was drawn to it like a fork to the sea. He stretched out His Spirit over the void and He stayed. If the story I heard of Him are true, surely He is nearest of all to me, to us. You see, the Creator is still here, where He has always been, hovering over the emptiness. I'm still begging, bargaining, demanding, disappearing. And I guess that means I have all the more reason to say thank you, because God is drawing near to me." In the midst of that season of your life, we wonder, is there a purpose? Is there a reason? And I say to you, yes. If there's a person that can have the right to complain and want to give up, I believe Jane is the right person to say that. But she chose not to. She chose to persevere and put her faith in God. And as a result of the pressing in, she has experienced something many of us desire and long for. And that is the closeness with God. That is the closeness with God. Many people want to draw near to God. That closeness that she had. And she had it. But she has to go through the plan that God has given for her. I don't know what you're going through in your life today. I believe there are prayers in your life today, and God seems to be slow in answering your prayer. Maybe there's some prayer that you made many years ago, and it's like, God, where are you? Nothing seems to become better. Should I wait? Should I press on and wait? I don't know. I have my own prayer. I have my own struggle. There are areas in my life I'm still waiting. But I want to say to you, have faith in God and press on. And I want to give you the reason why your perseverance and your faith is important. Because your faith in God and your perseverance will allow God to write a story about your life. That in the season when you walk faithfully with God, God can write a story about your life, and when it's complete, it will become His story to bring hope and inspiration and faith of others that need to hear today. So press in, press on. Don't let it push you away, but press in and press on. Put your faith in God, persevere, and say to the Lord, Lord, let my life be your story, a story of inspiration, of hope, and faith of those who need to hear today and in the future. Would you do that for God? Would you surrender your life to God, your struggle to God, and ask God to help you to write a story that will bring honor, glory to His name, that will inspire many who need to hear that story of you. You might invite us to stand as we come to a close. You know, in the midst of the challenges we are facing today, trust me, some people are doing well, all right, maybe, but many people are not really doing well. I think probably you know some of your friends are not doing well. And some people are very close to us today, they're not doing well. Would you today inspire them with your story? Would you go to them and share with them your journey with God, your story with God, and pray that God will use your story to inspire them, to bring them hope and faith. They need to hear your story. Would you let God use your story to inspire them? Some of us, you're waiting for God to answer that prayer. Wait, persevere, have faith in God. There is a reason, there is a purpose. Let God finish that story for you so that your story, that one day will become an inspiration of faith and hope to others. But for all of us in this journey, we do not know what's going to be like tomorrow. But we must keep pressing in and keep pushing on. And those who are watching online as well, for KUS, I'm speaking to all of us. If there's a time to be united, there's a time to stand together. Now is the time. We cannot just rely on a few people. May I encourage us, we must come together, stay together, be united. Listen to the story of faith together. Let us continue to listen to the story of faith together so that God can use those stories to inspire us to stir us to carry on, to continue till God complete His story for the Church of Savior. Amen. Amen. Are you blessed by God's word today? God is here with us. He loves all of you. And I want us, as we, I know you can't sing, but we're going to end with this song. We're going to lift our hands. We're going to say to God, Lord, Lord, I give you my life. I'm common people. I'm ordinary people, but I give you my life. Let my life be your story. When I'm going through a hard time, Lord, use me. Help me not to cut short or bypass it. If I have to go through it, Lord, let me go through it. But Lord, see me through. Complete it for me so that when it's over, not just that I will grow more mature in you, but my life, my story will become an inspiration of others who needs to hear today. They will bring honor and glory to your name. Amen. Amen. Let's give a Lord a clap offering, shall we? Right? Praise the Lord. So today, the sermons is not just on pulpit, but also practical. You persevere through. So I want to, just encourage all of us, persevere, have faith in God. God has a purpose for everything you are going through. Amen. Amen. So God bless all of you. I will see you next week. All right. Let's give praise to the Lord.